In spite of what you have heard, we're at the height of our powers, atop the tallest of towers.
You'll never stop us.
Take my hand and you trust that we will do what we must until it's turning out just like we planned.
We'll find a way somehow.
The road is long, but our mojo's strong. And unless I'm wrong, and I'm not, we're at the height of our powers.
As the walrus's office is filling with briny water, Navy clings to the back of Walter Russell, billionaire philanthropist slash evil genius. Nicole Squidman looks on lovingly. Manta Ray Romano has gone spiraling off after Roger Moore's Mentos and Orbit concoction. Snake Gyllenhaal, injured by Hatchet Man, is still in the fight, but not looking great as Ian McDonough swirls around the water, electrifying the area around him. Pitbull Shark is struggling to right himself with his massive muscles, increasing his bulk, but the rising water is helping. What do you do? Does anyone have something they'd like to do next?
Trav, when you lay them all out like that, end to end, you really do get a sense of the scope of the thing. Oh. You know, this is your Sistine Chapel.
For sure.
Thank you. It all just comes to me. I am but a conduit for the art.
Right. Yeah, it comes out of the ether, right?
I inhale a lot of ether to get these ideas. That's true.
I've still got Walrus sort of restrained, right?
Yeah, you're holding his tusks. You're on the back, clinging to his tusks as he's trying to buck you off. Though I believe currently you have him doubled over the desk as you kind of impromptu Heimlicked him over it.
I'm looking. I see the desk has a phone, a sort of like speaker phone situation on it.
That is the panel of buttons that one of which he used to lower the glass in the aquarium.
Oh, I thought it was a speakerphone. Can there be a speakerphone on the desk?
Yes. There is. That's improv, baby.
Amazing. I would like to try and discreetly, like, turn it on, like, broadcast mode throughout the building, if possible. I don't know if that's something that, I don't know, that I can figure out while wrestling with a walrus, but...
If we kick this guy's
butt, I don't know that it's going to really accomplish much.
Yeah, with your bug eyes and the fact that he is occupied, give me 48 plus an extra dice, so 5d8 to locate it.
Two successes, 7-5.
Yeah, with two successes, the speaker button is clearly labeled, and you are able to kind of tap it with your foot.
Okay. I look down at Walter, and I say, "Why are you doing this, man? You're the richest abnormal in the world. You could make this city so much better. You could make it anything. Why are you doing all this, dude?"
"I am the richest abnormal in River City. But I..."
"No, I just said that."
"No, you said the world. You said the world."
"Oh, right.
But I am contained here by the same restrictions as all of you. But if I can recreate the formula that brought us the Greenback Guardians, I will be able to spread abnormal influence throughout the world. I will spread River City first, throughout the world. First, you create the abnormal villains, send them in to create the demand, and then I will control the supply, fulfilling the goal of my company. River City first, and then the world."
"Okay.
You..."
"I mean,
you're mad."
"Some of that sounds all right."
"Yeah."
"You know what I mean? Like,
well, yeah,
I mean, some of that sounds all right. Like, I wouldn't mind going to, like, Bali or, like, going on a trip, but without, you know, reverting to just a normal walrus. But I would say that the end hasn't really justified the means on this one, Walter."
"Well, it's the means that I need, you know? It's not cheap being a billionaire philanthropist. The billionaire part, obviously, but philanthropy isn't cheap, my man. To be able to do philanthropy and keep above that billionaire line, I've got to keep the money rolling in."
"Yeah, you got to kidnap a hero or two. I get it.
Oh, But would he even be missed? The world didn't even know he was still alive.
Well, it's because he was missed.
Touché.
Okay, now I want to try and hurt him. Making sure that that just, like, went out over the airwaves. I want to just, like, with his tusks in my hand, try and just kind of RKO him to the ground, which I imagine is getting harder to do now that there's 3 feet of standing water in the room.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe a suplex wouldn't do much of anything at all. I guess I'll just smash him into the desk again.
Yeah. Are you going to use hydro propulsion or sheer muscles?
I mean, I still have... I'll use hydro propulsion to try and continue to, like, body slam him into this thing.
Okay, great. So that is a 5d8 roll.
Yes. Here we go. Three successes, including a double five, a cowabunga.
Oh, yeah, with a cowabunga, you slam him into the desk, and he is woozy. You also, when he slams down in, you slam him into that button arrangement there.
Yeah.
And a ladder, a metal rung ladder, pops out of the upper left corner of the office.
Oh, great.
And a hatch is revealed above it, leading to the roof.
You just have a ladder button? You're demented, dude.
It's an escape hatch, you fool. It's not just a ladder, but it just doesn't make a ladder. I call it the corporate ladder, though, and I find that pretty funny.
That's pretty funny. You're a huge dude, though. Wouldn't, like, a slide be better?
Well, I gotta go up. Science has yet to create a reverse slide.
Okay.
I'm gonna do a flying jump kick into Eel McDonough.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Everything's
yeah,
okay.
He's got your.
Okay.
He's got
your
blood
reaction.
Rage.
Made me second question. Second guess myself. I mean, he has a notable jump kick immunity.
Yeah, he has jump kick resistance. But
I've fallen into your plan. Let me see here. Fighting is so common, right? I just it feels so strange to me to just start attacking people.
Leap off the desk, man.
What?
Yeah, do stunts.
Yeah, I am going to eat the burrito.
Oh.
None of us said that. It sounded
like
you were
Yeah, you guys
agreeing.
Are right. I got a story plan for it. Yeah, I'm going to eat the burrito.
Amazing.
Hey, man, if you want to recreate the Greenback Guardians, you're going to need a frigging time machine, man. Because that was good eating.
You slam the burrito, and it is appropriately, but... present spice is very...
Is Walter confused because you did pretend to eat the burrito?
Yeah, man. As I stated in the previous episode, you pretended to eat the burrito so good
right.
that now that you've really eaten the burrito in front of him, it has caused confusion and he is stunned
Heck
for
yeah.
a turn.
This is my... Perfect. So he's stunned, right?
Yes. And between the heat of the burrito and, of course, the radiation and chemicals flowing through it, it's hard to tell which has more of an effect on you, but you feel like power coursing through your veins and like your muscles are flexing on their own. And you can kind of see a little bit of like green glow in your veins as you feel more powerful than you've ever felt before. And truly, you are at the height of your power.
Oh, the height. Okay.
He's
doing it now.
And so anything like... physical, basically your abs are increased to a 6d8 from a 3d8.
Oh, God.
Fantastic. So Walter has just watched me grow huge, and he's watched me eat the huge burrito. And what do I look like to him? Do I look different? I feel great. How do I look?
To Walter, he can see, like, your muscles seem to grow in size as there's, like, green coursing through your veins. Your eyes flash green.
Oh, God.
You are swole, dude.
Did I say that?
Yeah,
right? Is that
you
right?
Did.
Yeah.
You did
it. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
It's just a weird observation.
Okay.
Oh, and your butt looks great.
Oh, cool. Okay, fantastic.
Justin told me this in private, but part of Axolotl's backstory, he is very self-conscious about his butt. But yeah. Right now, in this moment, you've never had a doubt about being caked up.
He's got three cheeks now. He's all caked up.
I'm going to punch...
It's a three-layer cake.
Now, listen. I'm going to punch the walrus in the face.
Okay.
It's a move I invented.
Cool.
Nope. Not this time.
Well, that's not the dice you would roll for this physical
for
action.
For a punch in the face?
Yeah. Well, you just ate the burrito, and now you're super duper strong.
Oh, yeah. How many should I roll, Trev?
You should roll a 5d8.
80? Hey, look at that. That's a double cowabunga. That's 2 7s. Fantastic.
Yeah. With a cowabunga, you come flying across the desk, all pumped up with burrito magic. And you land a square hit across the walrus's jowly face. Now, Navy,
yeah,
give me a roll to see how well you can hold on. Or if you want to roll to, like, clear the area for this hit, you can do that as well.
He's stunned from the burrito surprise, so I don't really need to be holding him anymore. Mm-hmm. So I'll just kind of get out of the way of this turbo punch.
Okay, great. Give me a bulky boy roll to dive out of the way.
Mixed success.
With a mixed success, you are able to get out of the way, but you are like down on one knee.
Okay.
At this point.
I look at Nicole Squibb and I say, this isn't that. We haven't even gone on one day yet.
Okay. Okay.
So is the walrus dead, or what's
no,
his deal?
No, he is staggered, for sure. Roger, you are up, and you have a tag team partner in Carver.
Is that... Okay. Is that Eel Patrick Harris or Eel
Sorry.
McDonough?
Eel McDonough.
Eel McDonough.
Okay. Not
I understand your confusion,
sure.
Because the first
They're
name
both
Neil
Neils.
Sounds
yeah.
a lot like the first name Neil, but one is N-E-I-L and one is N-E-A-L.
And Eel Patrick Harris was a moray eel, yeah. And this is an electric eel.
Eel Patrick Harris was a pun on Neil.
Yes.
Eel McDonough is a pun on Neil.
Yeah.
Do you hear the difference, Dad?
I gotcha.
You got it? Okay.
Yeah. Roger is going to attack Eel McDonough. Okay?
Okay.
And is going to... They're standing in 3 feet of water. This is a little risky.
All right.
But he's going to try to short-circuit Eel McDonough. I'm just going to call him Eel. He's going to try to short-circuit him with his... cattle prod horns.
Okay.
Do it. To try to create an overload to take care of.
You're trying to electrocute an electric eel, and I think that's awesome.
I'm going to overpower him.
Give me a 48 roll, Dad.
48. I'm going to add a time to shine die.
Oh, yeah.
Let me check my mouth. Okay, 5d8.
Oh, my God.
4 successes, including 2 8s, a 6, a 5, an 8, and an 8?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. No. Yes.
Yeah.
So along with absolutely laying him out, you get him square in the chest with your cattle prods, and especially with the upgrades that you got on them down in Dr. Kildeth's old hideout. You are able to transfer into him without his electricity transferring into you. And with that double eight, you see that electricity course over, and it also knocks Manta Ray Romano unconscious, and it arcs over and knocks Nick Gyllenhaal unconscious as well.
Without Way damaging, to go, Raj!
Yeah, without damaging your teammates.
That's what happens with a Mega Cowabunga, baby.
And Carver... walks over and puts his foot onto Pitbull Shark's chest and is
Gross.
Holding him down. The walrus is going to go scurrying through the water towards that escape hatch. It, man.
that. Wait, it all becomes clear.
This has
been your purpose the whole time, man. That's why I called you Hatch It, man.
Thank you for carrying me so well, Axelisle.
This is the second time one of Justin's magic talking weapons has saved the
Now game. Hurl me!
Oh, wow. That was hot. That was real hot. Real
shouting,
hot.
Shouting at Axelisle. Hatch It, man. Okay, I mean, I guess this would be... anything's a drum, but yeah, exceptionally skilled at improvising melee weapons in his environment. And with my super powers, this has got to be, what, a 8? I mean, how many should I roll? 9? 10 dice? Stop me when I've gone too high, Trav. 11?
Roll 8d8.
Oh my god.
There isn't a button for that.
There's a 2d8 and a 6d8 button.
Okay, Poindexter.
All right.
There's also 2 4d8.
Oh my god, what's with these
2 8s? I'll go ahead and roll. Okay. So I got 2 8s.
Yeah. 8, 5, 6, 8.
4 successes.
With that mega cowabunga, Hatchet Man, you see go up and like bend, like as it hits, it bends the hinges on the hatch, and kind of pins it closed with the hatchet wedged into the clasp mechanism. So it's not going anywhere. Walter Russell, at this point, turns to the room and says,
"You think you've won, but this building is full of my guards. It won't be long before they come smashing through that door."
And you hear footsteps outside the door, and it smashes open as Lamar, Loveless, and Newton come in.
We can't touch them because we technically control them. And if we are doing two characters in the same room at the same time,
it'll explode.
It'll just.
And the walrus falls to his knees and surrenders. Hey, a couple of quick announcements, too, before we get back to the episode. We've got a bunch of cool stuff over at macromerch.com. If you haven't checked it out, you need to go do that. 10% of all merch proceeds this month will be donated to Border Angels. Macromerch.com, check that out. Also, Griffin's book, The Stowaway, is out now. To choose your own adventure. Go to bit.ly/GriffinStowaway and get all the information there or find it at a local bookstore.
Thank you, Travis.
You're welcome, Griffin. And Justin's great, too. He does cool things.
Whatever.
All right. Back to the show.
Max Fun Meetup Day is on Thursday, April 23rd. Max Funsters from all over are getting together to hang out and celebrate their favorite podcasts. Want to go and meet some friends who like similar stuff and care about the same things as you? Head to MaximumFun.org/meetup to see where and when your local meetup is. Don't see one nearby? Host your own and make some new pals. All you need to do is pick a place that can hold a small group. A bar, cafe, park, library, wherever. Then fill out the form at MaximumFun.org/meetup. We'll add you to the page and help get the word out. So go to MaximumFun.org/meetup and maybe we'll see you on April 23rd.
Hello, this is Alden Ford.
And Mujan Zulfagari.
Two of the creators of Mission to Zix, your favorite improvised, obsessively sound-designed sci-fi sitcom here on the Max Fun Network. And the news is...
We're back! With an all-new miniseries set in the Zix universe, The Young Old Derf Chronicles.
Yeah.
Will Derf find his own killer before it's too late?
Ooh.
To find out how that question could possibly make sense, well, sure. You just have to tune in.
Yeah, and as always, it's ambitious and labor-intensive to a frankly absurd degree.
Indeed.
So if you are looking for a little break from your own galaxy, we would love for you to check it out.
That's The Young Old Derf Chronicles. Search Mission to Zix, Z-Y-X-X, in your podcast app.
Or on MaximumFun.org.
Keep it fresh.
Some time has passed here in River City, a few days, but it does not take a half calculator, half alligator named Calculator to see what is potentially on the horizon in the future. First and foremost, the Dryaria closes after just a few weeks due to immense overhead and very limited demand.
And it doesn't make any sense.
Nobody wanted to use it, and it costs a lot of money. They kept the dryers running 24/7.
Uh-huh. And you just had to sort of huck your clothes in there and hope for the best.
The bills were immense. But Dean, the accountant Koala, has helped Hair Dryer set up his new business, selling a product that they designed for use in the Dryaria, which has massive demand. A roller specially designed to get all of the fuzz off clothes, called the Lint Licker.
I don't like that either.
Dean has retired with a massive pension from his accounting job to help Hair Dryer with this, to spend more time with his five kids, and to join on as a full-time member with your group in an administrative capacity.
Was he not already that? I guess it was more ad hoc.
Yeah, he was working part-time for you guys while keeping his full-time job, but now he's a full-time member.
That's weird because we didn't get any money. Do you know what I mean? Like, we didn't get any money from all the stuff we did.
Well, luckily, he has a ton of investments and a massive pension, which he is now using to bankroll your organization.
A sugar daddy.
And we also see here in our predictions of the future an engagement. After spending time keeping an eye on her during this assault on the River City First HQ, Joshua Darnett and Clara Phillips have fallen in love.
Oh my God.
Wow. I love that.
I kind of saw it coming. There was kind of a vibe.
And they are prison pen pals and have gotten engaged via communication.
Hold on. He is a police officer. Yeah, still. And
former.
She is an inmate. Okay.
And together they solve crimes.
I'm just saying the ethics of that seem like pretty bad to me. Like the optics of it.
Well, I don't know if you guys have picked up on this, but Joshua is not good at making decisions or thought processes. So
Or attacking or helping.
Yeah.
Helping in any way.
Okay.
And Artificial has found a newfound drive in life as a competitive eater, specializing in Dorito-sponsored competitions.
He's not a person.
What'd you say, Griffin?
I'm so proud.
I don't need his stuff. He's not like, he's a machine.
Wow.
Okay. You know what I mean? Like, you're not going to tell me like what happened with the buttons on the walrus's desk. Next,
oh, okay.
Because right? It's a machine.
All right. And we also see Dr. Killdeath is running for another term as governor coming out of retirement. And he has set up his campaign HQ in his old headquarters below the now defunct River City First HQ. And he has connected Scuzz to the World Wide Web and is able to communicate with him via smartphone. So Scuzz is free from his confinement. But what of our three heroes? In the far-flung future, however far-flung that might be for you, where do we see our heroes?
I can start, if that's okay. I think you see there's a bank robbery and the alarm starts going off and you see the Amphibophores show up and there's all the great members of them. Of course, Trav, you know all their different names and things. I know them so well, too. We all don't need to compare how well we know the names of the Amphibophores today.
Well, but maybe you could refresh the listeners' minds.
Yeah, Justin, Travis, why don't you give us a quick rundown?
Travis, if you wouldn't mind.
Got juice. Go ahead.
If you just run through the different Amphibophores members.
There's Slippy Frog.
Mm-hmm. That is not one. That is one from Star Fox.
There's Isaac Newton. Yeah.
I'll get you started,
that's
Justin.
That's not the Amphibophores. That's Green Man Guardians.
So Sergeant Salamander's the leader.
Okay. Yeah. That's great, Trav. I love
that. And now do the rest.
Sergeant, okay, well, you said Sergeant Salamander already.
Uh-huh.
So I got that one.
Uh-huh.
And the other ones in it.
Yeah.
Of course, we are fans of all of them. Trey Frog.
Yeah.
Cecil Ann, Noop Brute, the whole gang.
Yeah.
And Mud Puppy.
And Mud Puppy, of course, yes.
And I'm there. I'm up in the mix. And then, after the whole team drops in, there's a splishy sound. And it's Axolotl. And he walks up to the criminals, which are Dave and Reginald, two of the worst criminals in town.
Yeah.
And he walks up to you and says, "Hey, man." And they're like, "What? What are you doing here, Axelisle?" And he said, "Oh, yeah. I used to try to work really hard to be accepted by these guys. Right, guys?" And they kind of nod their head. "You know, thanks. And you know what I realized?"
"What?"
"I just wasn't... I wasn't good enough. You know?"
"Oh."
"Like, if I had gotten better at what I was doing, they probably would have called me more, you know? That's why they left me out, because they were much more highly skilled, and I wasn't as skilled as them."
"Okay, man.
But you know what I had to realize, man?"
"What?"
It wasn't that there was anything wrong with me.
"Okay."
"And it wasn't that I needed to accept myself.
Oh.
I just needed to improve at the main kind of thing that I was doing. Do you understand, man? Like, it wasn't a personality conflict. I just wasn't skilled enough to be accepted on the team."
"Oh, okay.
But now I am, man.
Okay.
And I'm loving it."
"What did you get better at?"
"Everything, man."
"Oh, cool."
"I had a... First of all, I had this burrito that really opened up my third eye." "I mean, it didn't last for long, but it really taught me the limits of my own capabilities. You ever do that? You ever have some, like, ayahuasca or peyote and just go right out to the limit?"
"I mean, I ate some coyote once."
"Yeah, absolutely. Hey, you're going to prison, okay?"
"Oh, okay. Cool, man."
Well, Roger really wishes he had gone first. At some point, right, as a matter of fact, in the aftermath of the Great Aquarium issue, Roger just happened to look over at the shiny reflective glass of the aquarium and saw his reflection. And for the first time, this outer reflection spurred an inner reflection. And Roger realized how ludicrous it was for a cow to try to be a competitive ballroom dancer. You know, wrong body type, too much physical mass, twice as many feet to coordinate. No, Roger decided the world of the dance is not for this heifer.
I hate this.
Instead, he has a new goal. He's going to devote all his energies to becoming an Olympic high diver. So, kids, remember, if your dream is ridiculous, give up on it and get a new one. That's our advice.
The lessons of this season are we're 2 for 3 of them being truly, truly unhelpful.
What do you got then, Hot Shot?
Yeah.
I learned to accept
your moral of the story.
I accept myself for what I am and who I am. And if people don't like that, they don't accept it, they can hit the road, pal. Was there more for Roger?
There's no... Well, yeah, I think he... No, I already told you, he tries to become an Olympic high diver. Because that makes much more sense for a cow.
I think Navy SEAL hangs up the splash pack. He instead kind of focuses on his team that he was on, that he saved River City with, and how there's not really much of a place for teams like that of, you know, different animals working together and using their strengths. And, you know, rehabilitating villains like Hair Dryer, all of the stuff that they did on their adventure, I think he thinks is more important than having another tough guy out on the streets, another bulky boy out there fooning the goons. Oof.
Fooning the goons.
Your word. We say we can't curse, and then we invent curses.
Yeah.
We invent minced oaths.
Yeah, there's our first T-shirt. Fooning the goons.
Gross.
So instead, remind me, what was that area, like boardwalk area where the sea villains like hang out?
Yeah, it's just the pier with a Submariner diner at the end of the pier. That's all we called it.
Okay. So instead of getting out there and fighting more crime, he may still do it. I mean, he's a big, strong guy. But Navy SEAL buys a little office space, so he doesn't have to work out of the diner anymore, and opens up a sort of matchmaking agency for abnormals without teams to find their own. To find their own crews instead of, you know, vying for positions on these elite, austere sort of groups, helps folks find their own teams that they can match up with and hopefully do some good with, whether they be villains or heroes, rehabilitated villains. That is his mission at this point.
Aw, let us rewind now back before all of these premonitions, these calculations of the future, to a few days after the arrest of Walter Russell. A conference is called, a press conference is called, in front of the golden greenback guardian statues at the museum. J.J. August is reporting, and she says, "Yes, we're here live in a surprise announcement. A press conference has been called by the Greenback Guardians, who no one knew were still around. Definitely not me. It's a surprise to everyone. But they say they have some sort of big announcement today. It looks like they're getting ready to start now. Let's go over to the camera feeds." And we see the four Greenback Guardians take the stage and the audience erupts. It is wall-to-wall people. And everybody is just absolutely losing it that not only are the Greenback Guardians still around, but they are here in front of them in the flesh. And Lamar steps up to the microphone and says, "Hey, everybody, I know this is pretty wild to be back here in front of you guys after all this time. And listen, I'm just going to be honest. We kind of handled the end of the Greenback Guardians era not great. We're sorry for just kind of leaving you guys in the lurch like that. And, you know, that was our mistake. And sometimes it takes a new friend or friends to help you realize that mistake. Can we, we're going to bring up your Axel Lyle, Roger Moore, and Navy SEAL. Can you guys come up here, please?"
"Not without Dean."
"And Dean... of course, yeah.
We, I mean, do we need to say we come up?"
"Yeah?
We come up."
"Okay, I come up."
"Okay, great.
I come up."
"I come up with Dean." "Okay, we're all up."
These four, they're the real heroes of the day. Not only did they stop the plot by Walter Russell, which you all heard through the speakerphone, but they also are the ones...
Hold on. I appreciate you trying to tie back into that decision that I made during the fight. If you're suggesting that at this press conference, everyone in attendance heard Walter Russell's voice through the speakerphone system.
Well, as the speakerphone went off and they could hear you talking, the Guardians recorded it.
Oh, okay,
so
good.
J.J. August could air it on the news.
Tag team. Yeah. But we were controlling the Guardians and I didn't make that decision for my guys. So, but that's fine. That's great. That's cool.
Okay, so it didn't happen, and you're all arrested.
No. I want it to have happened.
Okay. And, but more than that, the four of us wouldn't be here, especially not Carver, and they are kind of elbow him, and if it weren't for these guys. And so we have got you guys a little something each as a thank you. Roger, can you come up here first?
Yes.
So, Loveless, why don't you take it away? So Loveless, the scientist, three steps out and goes, "Roger, I've thought about this long and hard, and I've designed for you this special earpiece and kind of glasses combo. Here, try this on."
Okay.
Now, it has
built-in music capabilities. So we can play music for you without someone else having to do it.
But weren't you just saying that, like, dancing, like,
No. I'm rethinking the whole diving thing.
It's yours to use as long as you want to. We're not going to take it back if you decide to go on a different career path. But you'll always have the music in your ears. And if you double tap the side, the lenses will go red, and you can control your own kind of stampeding urge without someone else having to do it for you.
So your gift is removing the onus of teamwork from Roger.
I'll take it.
Okay.
And listen, fellas.
And I hold it up and...
you can hear it beating.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, it's Whisper Balls. Listen, okay. Is it my... You got anything there for me?
Oh, do we have it? Here, step on
anything
up here.
Anything in that bag for me?
Thank you, Justin, for getting my job.
Here, let me see Hatchet Man for just a moment.
Okay, be careful.
Oh, of course.
My wife's soul is in there.
What?
I thought I mentioned, yeah, my wife's soul is in Hatchet Man. Go ahead.
Oh, okay, cool. And he slides, you see this, like, almost like rubberized handle over it so that it, like, wraps around kind of the center part of the handle, and you can see, like, a wire mesh is running through it. And he hands you a glove, a fingerless glove of identical material. And he says, here, put this on.
Okay, I do.
And then he walks across the stage, and he puts Hatchet Man down. And he says, call Hatchet Man to you.
Hatchet!
And it comes flying to that gauntlet.
Whoa!
Wire meshes connect. And it,
okay,
Hatchet Man is summoned to your hand.
And here, one good turn deserves another. And then I take Hatchet Man, and I reach over, and I lop off my left arm. As far as I can tell... My DNA is the last secret, the only link to recreating the Greenback Guardians.
Oh.
And I feel like we should be in possession of it. So here, I want you to take this.
I'm just gonna shove my stump.
Lovely.
Could have just lanced your finger for like a single drop of blood.
The burrito wore off. That's out of your system, but...
Right, but my DNA was shifted. So the only clues... I'm the most... as near as I can tell, man, I might be the most important person on Earth.
Well, the four of us still have... You know what? Thank you so much for this arm.
It's honestly best just to kind of take it, whatever he does.
Thank you very much.
Does anybody else want a limb? As long as I got him out. He's already dirty. So as long as Hatchet Man's already dirty, I'll go ahead and lop off
a little boy steps up in the front with like a I Love Axel Isle t-shirt. And he's like, oh, Mr. Axel Isle, can I have...
Hey, enough said. Take a toe.
This is the best day of my life.
All right, too.
It's just a scratch.
Thank you, Mr. Axel Isle.
See you, little guy.
Will you sign your toes?
I gotta lay down, man. Gotta lay down. Hey, scoot over, kid. I'm laying down right here. Okay.
I would like a toe.
You need to go away now.
Okay.
I'm gonna take a little quick nap.
Navy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Carver steps up and he goes, listen, man, I pulled some strings with some old contacts of ours, and he opens a wooden box that he's holding, and inside there are some, some pin bars. And he says, we got you an honorary commission as a Navy SEAL.
Okay.
Which was not a thing I thought we could do. Basically, if you ever get arrested or, like, sued for stolen valor, they'll take care of it.
I appreciate that. I close the box. I hand it back to him. Navy SEAL was sort of a name forced upon me by sort of like the naming convention of my family team. And I guess I'm going to take this press conference to announce a change. I am no longer Navy SEAL. I recognize now that takes some credit from the brave people, the Navy SEALs who do whatever the Navy SEALs do. and I apologize for all the harm I caused. I am at heart a creature of the sea. I'm a proud Ross Seal. I'm a proud marine animal, and that is why from now on I am called the Marine. Pretty cool, great. Huh, guys?
Yeah, why don't you go ahead and hold on to this box? Just, you know, just as a keepsake, I guess. In case.
Yeah, sure. I don't want to be rude. Yeah, thank you.
And Newton steps up and says, "Hey, Gene, man, we weren't ready for something for you, but I got this coupon book that you can have, and like 2/3 of the coupons in there are still good." And Dean starts to well up, starts to cry, and he's like, "That's,
thank you so much. That's beautiful."
This guy freaking loves coupons. You nailed it.
I love coupons. I'm an extreme couponer. That's how I got to where I am. Thank you.
And Lamar steps back up to the mic and says, "Yeah, man. Speaking of name changes, I've been talking it over with the other Greenbacks, and we've decided our Guardian days, man, we're not as young as we used to be. Am I right?" And the crowd kind of chuckles. He says, "So from now on, we are reforming, but we're going to be the Greenback Guides. We're going to help in the city. We're going to train new animals and everything, but we just can't be the Guardians anymore." And you hear the audience kind of gasp, and gasps are like running through. And he goes, "But I mean, if all goes well, you guys aren't going to be without Guardians, because we'd like to offer that name to you four as the new River City Guardians, if you'll accept."
Could it just be Greenback Guardians?
Well, we're still going to keep the Greenback part because we're tortoises and you guys aren't.
What about the RC Guardians?
The nuts and bolts of like the branding is yours, but will you be the new Guardians?
Absolutely.
We've been struggling with branding and stuff, but I could see RC Guardians really popping on a hat.
As you accept this new title, they cue the band just off stage, and the music starts to swell. There's just an amazing electric guitar starts playing these like crazy licks, these amazing riffs. As the music swells, and Jonathan Colton steps out and takes the microphone.
Wait, what?
And the River City Guardian music kicks in for the first time.
Cool.
It's Jonathan Colton, and it's a horse.
Yeah, he's half horse.
Cool.
And he sings, "In spite of what you have heard, we're at the height of our power. We're talking tallest of towers, we'll stand."
But you can just play the...
Yeah, it will just play
actual
there.
Jonathan
it's not
Colton
doing
it.
Yeah, you just play the actual theme song there.
Yeah, that's where the theme song goes.
Rock and roll.
The end.
Pizza party.
Yeah.
Yay. We did it. Congratulations, everybody.
And
congratulations, Trav.
You did it. Single time.
That was a thrilling adventure, Trav. I loved it.
Yeah, very good.
I felt like I was a kid again. We were playing with action figures.
And then Chlorophyllis bursts in.
No.
Maximum Fun,
a worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows,
supported
directly
by you.